This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Yik together with Lim Soo Ann and Juliet Jacobs. For our second story, we have a poll on Twitter related to it.
Yeah, so we're asking you if you think climate change has played a role in making this bushfire season in Australia so devastating. So far, almost 90% of you have said yes, with about 10% of you still saying no. So some climate change deniers there. My unbiased opinion. Okay, my very biased opinion there. But do continue to share your thoughts. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very hard for anyone to sort of deny or even be able to ignore or neglect the role of climate change in this really horrific bushfires that have swept
unprecedented
through certain parts of Australia. Unprecedented, definitely. And looking at its impact on wildlife. So it's estimated, and we've been seeing these numbers going around as well, apparently more than 1 billion animals, that's billion with a B, by the way, have been killed by the recent bushfires. And of the indigenous wildlife being threatened by these fires, koalas have become the face of the devastation. And you cannot possibly be unmoved by, say, the pictures and videos, for example, of, you know, the lone koala escaping smoke and flames in the bush, or all these dehydrated and injured koalas being rescued by firefighters and being given water and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. And record-breaking temperatures and months of severe drought have ignited massive bushfires that have swept through vast areas of New South Wales and Victoria in particular. An estimated 10 million hectares, so that's about 15.6 million acres of bush, forest and parks across Australia have burned. And these areas are home to wildlife like kangaroos, koalas, lizards and birds. Domestic properties have also been destroyed, leading to the death of ranch and farm animals as well as pets.
And one particularly hard hit area is Kangaroo Island, and that's in South Australia. So fires have burnt through 155,000 hectares, about one third of the island's entire area, with blazes concentrated in the biodiversity rich western areas of the island. And so the island is actually home to about 50,000 koalas. Their presence on the island actually dates back to the 1920s, actually, when the animals were brought there in response to a drop in numbers on the mainland from the fur trade. So the introduced koalas were free from chlamydia, and that's actually a disease that's quite prevalent among mainland populations. And so here's a clip of Australian Army veterinarian Garnet Hall explaining the injuries to one of the koalas in Kangaroo Island.
So this poor bloke's he's an adult male koala, and he's been burnt in the fires. He's come through it with a few injuries. So there's some of his hands that are relatively unscathed, like this one. But unfortunately, when they walk across the fire grounds, they do cause some really nasty burns. He's had a bit of sedation, so he's allowing us to have a look. But you can actually see the singed fur on the side of his paw there. So he's got some burns associated with that. Now, you can see his coat's got a lot of smoke. It's slightly singed in places. His lungs have a little bit of smoke damage to them as well. So he's a very sick koala, but he's one that we do have hope for.
In order to understand why koalas are so unique to Australia, here's a quick 101 on koalas, starting with the question, are koalas actually bears?
Koalas are not bears. They're marsupials. Often mislabeled koala bears because of their teddy bear-like appearance, koalas are marsupials, mammals that give birth to undeveloped young. Like most marsupials, mother koalas have pouches, where baby koalas, or joeys, drink their mother's milk and continue to develop for around 6 months. But unlike most other marsupials, koala pouches open toward the bottom. This allows joeys to access and consume a substance their mother secretes, which aids in the baby koala's digestion.
So that was from a Koala's 101 documentary by Nat Geo Wild, and it also goes on to explain the koala's diet and daily routine.
Koalas eat leaves that are poisonous to many animals. The koala diet consists almost entirely of eucalyptus leaves. The leathery leaves are very high in fiber and contain chemicals toxic to other animals. To process this specialized diet, koalas have a closed-ended digestive organ called a cecum, which helps digest the leaf fibers via fermentation. Koalas sleep up to 22 hours per day. Because of their low nutrition diets and sluggish metabolism, koalas must conserve their energy. Koalas spend about 10% of their day eating and around 90% of their time sleeping.
Who here wants to be a koala? Well, not right
now. Not in Australia. No, not right now.
I mean, koalas in Australia is already listed as a vulnerable species in Queensland, New South Wales and the Australian Capital Territory. In other states, however, their populations vary widely from abundant to low or even locally extinct. Mm.
And nobody actually really knows how many koalas there are in Australia's wild. They are not stationary animals and they are patchily distributed throughout an extremely wide range, encompassing urban and rural areas in four states and one territory, and they are also difficult to see due to where they live. Mm. However, one estimate taken in 2016 found that there were about 329,000 koalas in the entire country. So that's within a range of 144,000 to 605,000. Mm. The estimated average decline was 24% over the past three generations and the next three generations.
So there have been claims made, most notably last year by the Australian Koala Foundation, that koalas in the country are what they call functionally extinct, and they estimate that there are no more than 80,000 koalas in Australia. However, other koala and wildlife experts have been quick to correct this claim of, the whole functionally extinct claim, mm-hmm. because they say it's quite an overstatement, and there's actually a lot of conservation work being carried out to ensure preservation of the species.
Yeah, but nonetheless, koala numbers across Australia are certainly in decline. The greatest threats to their survival are habitat loss, which is due to deforestation and fires, also disease, and there are, of course, the other effects of climate change. So the Nat Geo Wild documentary explains these threats.
Koalas only live in eastern and southeastern Australia and once numbered in the millions. Now, wild koala population estimates vary from 43,000 to around 350,000. Vast tree clearing due to urbanization, along with droughts and forest fires, have drastically reduced koala habitats since the early 1900s. These stressors have made koalas vulnerable to diseases, as well as dog attacks and vehicle strikes.
So two diseases in particular are of grave concern for the koala. Mm-hmm. So it's one is the koala retrovirus and the second one is chlamydia. So koala retrovirus, is prevalent in northern koalas and it actually appears to be spreading to southern populations. Mm.
Meanwhile, we do know about the human type of chlamydia, but perhaps not many of us realise that there's also a serious infection affecting koalas. So here's a clip from a short documentary on PBS NewsHour Weekend, which was aired last November, which actually explained its impact.
Another reason for their population decline is the disease chlamydia, which is an epidemic among koalas. The stress of losing habitat can cause the symptoms of chlamydia to manifest, which can lead to blindness, severe bladder inflammation, infertility, and ultimately death.
Apart from the fact that koalas are, well, just plain lovable animals, they have also played an important ecological role in the health of Australia's eucalyptus forest and have done so for millions of years. So koalas eat the upper leaves of the trees and their droppings on the forest floor contribute to important nutrient recycling. And their known fossil records actually date back approximately 30 million years. So once upon a time, they may have actually been a food source for megafauna carnivores as well.
Mm, 30 million years is quite a long time.
Yes, definitely.
There are lots of efforts as well being made to rescue koalas that are being threatened by the current bushfires. So for instance, the Port Macquarie Koala Hospital and National Parks and Wildlife Service have been searching for koalas in the Port Macquarie area and also then bringing them for treatment at the hospital.
And last December, veterinarians from Science for Wildlife and Taronga Zoo actually rescued a population of genetically important koalas who were living directly in the line of a massive bushfire burning in the Blue Mountains, Kanangra, Boyd National Park. And so they were bringing them back to the zoo to be sort of sheltered until it's safe to release them back in their natural habitat again. And coming back to Kangaroo Island, volunteers and rescue crews have been bringing koalas to the Kangaroo Island Wildlife Park to provide care and shelter for them.
But you know, such efforts, you know, however commendable that they are, they seem so small in the face of these raging fires.
Yes.
And not to mention that the impact of climate change on the destruction of koalas goes beyond these bushfires. So James Tremaine, Green, a spokesman for the NSW Nature Conservation Council, he told The Guardian that certain koala populations in the northwest of New South Wales have been dwindling due to heat waves, which is sort of an insidious impact of global heating that few people actually talk about.
And although much of the attention has been on koalas, your kangaroos, other unique and endangered wildlife in Australia as well are dying in huge numbers. These are species like cockatoos, dunnarts, and even a rare bee called the green carpenter bee.
Yes, and we talked about the insect apocalypse, didn't we, just last week. And this is just adding to that kind of, you know, we're just seeing species being wiped out.
And we're going to continue seeing it, you know, if we don't take some very, very drastic action.
Yeah, and you cannot, again, it comes back to climate change, because these are years and years of effects building up.
Exactly. So, I mean, the warning signs have been there. It's just what, you know, the people in power have been choosing to ignore it for whatever reasons. So, you know, even on social media, we asked you, do you think climate change played a role in making this bushfire season in Australia so devastating? So close to 90% of you have said yes, and just about 10% of you have said no. We had one comment from Rebel to Save the Environment, and they said that the destruction in Australia is caused by the destruction of the environment in the Northern Hemisphere based on wind and sea current flow. So, yes, I think you do believe that climate change is at work here. And you know, to continue that conversation on the Australian bushfires, I actually will be speaking to Christine Milne. She's a former senator for Tasmania. She was a former leader of the Australian Greens. She's also a Global Greens ambassador. So I'm going to be speaking to her at 3 p.m. and we're going to look at how climate change has actually been an underlying factor in this unprecedented extent of the fires. And we're also going to be talking about, you know, what's been happening on the political scene. You know, how Scott Morrison and his government have not really been doing a very good job, you know, sort of there in response to this whole crisis, but also, you know, with regard to their climate policy. So that's going to come up shortly after this.
I mean, if we're talking about the koalas being the face of the wildlife that are suffering, Scott Morrison is the face of inaction, I think.
Face of inaction and face of cold.
That's
so it would
cold,
seem.
That's right. There's that infamous clip of him in Parliament holding up a lump of coal.
A lump of coal back in 2017.
And telling people, don't be afraid, it's just coal. Yes. Well, see, let's...
Well, what's a very we'll have a very interesting discussion with Christine about Scott Morrison's policies.
Yes. And if you have any more thoughts about this, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or send us a message on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. We'll leave you with a sort of cautionary tale by an Australian band, Midnight Oil. This is Beds Are Burning on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.